tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Today we're kicking off a brand new series entitled People Don't Come with Instructions. And I want to tell you where the title of the series came from. It came from a part of my giftedness that I've learned about over the years. I don't know if you've ever taken a spiritual gifts test, and if I could take a time out real quick and give a little bit of a plug, our Next Steps group, which is starting today, the next one will be in June, a part of that is giving people a spiritual gifts test. So if you've never taken one and you don't know how God has wired you, I'd encourage you to take the Next Step group. Well, I've taken multiple of these spiritual gift tests, and one of the gifts that God has given me is the gift of wisdom or the gift of counseling. And often, I hear from people when I give advice, they say that it is great insight into their life. And that's not because I'm amazing, it's the gift that God has given me. It's just using the gift that I have. And for years, I have tried to help people with relationships, and I'm not a counselor. I'm not like, I haven't taken the classes. I don't have a degree in counseling. It's just a gift that I have, and I'm able to help people. And a couple years ago, I was going through some relational issues myself, and I thought to myself, how come it's so easy to give other people advice to fix their relationships, but it's so hard to apply advice to myself? And I was dealing with a situation, and I was like, they are so difficult, and they are the problem, and they're the issue. And I said just out loud, I wish people came with instructions. It would make life so much easier. But then it dawned on me that even if people came with instructions, most of us wouldn't read them anyway. Like, we don't like instructions. Our relationships are so complicated because everyone that we know lives life and plays life by a different set of rules. And we walk into relationships and we don't know how to figure them out. We don't know, are they introverted, extroverted? We don't know if they have a temper, are they laid back? We don't know how every person is wired. And so we walk into relationships and we may feel something, we may feel a connection, and we say, we're friends with them. Or maybe we start dating them, or maybe it's even in your family and you say, I like this person based off the way that they make me feel. And because people don't come with instructions, we're left to try to figure out this thing on our own. And so most of us, we base the health of our relationships off of feelings. If someone makes me feel good, they're my friend, I love them. If someone doesn't make me feel good, then I want to push them away. The problem is that feelings are incredibly misleading. We often have feelings that aren't even true. They're not even right. And if you base how you treat other people on your feelings, you will constantly have relational drama because feelings are misleading. And here's something that I want you to get at the very, very beginning of this. Right at the truth, I want to give you this truth. The truth is that people are difficult. And because you are people, at times, you are difficult. People are difficult. And because you are people, at times, you are difficult. Now, this is helpful for relationships because when there is relational drama, the vast majority of us don't think that I'm the problem. We think they're the problem. And as long as we base our relational connections on feelings, we'll constantly go up and down. And the truth is that no one comes with instructions, and you didn't come with instructions. I'm 39 years old, and I'm still learning about myself. I'm still learning about how I tick. I take a lot of personality profiles because I want to know, why am I the way that I am? A couple years ago, I took a personality profile called Enneagram or Enneagram, and it is an amazing personality profile, and it unlocked something that was totally new to me. One of the things that it said about my personality is that I am a peacemaker, and I love for there to be unity, and I love positivity. I hate anything that feels like negativity. I hate it. And because of that is my personality, whenever I have my own negative emotions, I bury them deep down. And so for years, I've told my wife, Monica, I don't feel stressed. Like, I don't ever feel stressed. I feel the effects of stress, but I don't feel stressed. I know that I've been stressed for a time period because I get sick. Or I know that I'm stressed because I don't want to do the things that I normally want to do. Or, this was so eye-opening to me, I now know that I'm stressed because when I get stressed, I start to get angry at people. And my tone goes up, and I become really direct. And for years, I would have an off day where there was stress at work, and I would come home, and I would be talking to my wife, and my wife would say, Rob, why are you so mad? And I would say, I'm not mad! I don't know why you're saying I'm mad! I'm not angry! And I didn't feel anger. I wasn't in tune with my own emotions. It was stress. And it is so easy to look at someone else and say, they're the problem. But the truth is sometimes we're the problem. And I know now, because I've taken some personality profiles, I know now that when I start biting off other people's heads and when I start being really direct and when I'm a little bit mean, there is another cause. There's something else in my life that is causing me stress. And I'm not in tune to it, but I got to figure it out. Because most of the time, they're not the problem. It's something from within. A few years ago, we went on vacation to L.A. And here's something that you need to know. Whenever I go to L.A., I go to L.A. for two reasons. Number one is to see the Lakers play. Number two is to see celebrities. That's why I go to L.A. If you don't like either of those things, you probably shouldn't go to L.A. I love L.A. I love to watch the Lakers play, and I love to see celebrities. Well, a few years ago, we were hanging out with some of our friends, and they'd never been to L.A., and they were talking about how they would like to go to L.A. one day, and so we decided to plan a vacation together. What we didn't talk through is my unwritten rules about L.A., the reason why I go to L.A., and when we got to L.A., what we found out is that they go to L.A. for a different reason than I go. They are, number one, Celtics fans. No, don't clap for that. That's, no. No. I'm actually giving a moment of silence so that we can pray for them, because they are broken people, being Celtics fans, going to L.A. Number two, they don't care about celebrities at all. And so when I went to L.A. with my friends, we went to two Laker games. They came to one. The second one, they just sat out. They didn't have interest in going to two. When I walk around L.A., I'm constantly looking for celebrities. They could care less about celebrities. So one day we decided to go to Santa Monica to see the famous Santa Monica Pier. And remember why I go to L.A. If it's not a Laker game, it's to look for famous people. And so we pull up into the parking area for Santa Monica Pier, and as we pull up, I see that near the pier, at the end of it, on one end of it, is a tent with a whole bunch of limos around the tent. And I say to everyone that we're with, we should go to the tent first. There's probably celebrities there. But the people that we brought wasn't interested in celebrities. So they said, oh, no, we should go to the pier first. And I'm trying to be a nice guy. I'm trying to, like, compromise and try to be a good friend. And so I'm like, okay, we can go to the pier. But I'm thinking to myself, the pier will still be there. Like, the pier's always there. The pier doesn't change. Like, we could come next year and the pier would be there. This tent is portable and the limos are portable. They may not be there. But I was like, no, I'll be a good friend. And so we go and we see the pier, and it's the same pier that's always there. And we take pictures and it was amazing, blah, 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 whatever. We leave the pier and I say, let's go check out the tent where the limos were. And we walk over to the tent, and when we get there, there's about five people that are incredibly excited, and they're like almost jumping up and down, and they're just talking, like just incredibly excited, like some life-changing moment has happened. And I couldn't make what they were excited about. I couldn't understand what was going on. And so finally, I just said, hey, why are you guys so excited? And the girl turns to me and says, you just missed it. If you were here 5 minutes earlier, you would have met Jennifer Lawrence. If you don't know who Jennifer Lawrence is, she's star of The Hunger Games. She's also in the X-Men franchise. And if you don't care about celebrities, remember, why do I go to L.A.? Lakers games and celebrities. And I miss Jennifer Lawrence. Not just like miss seeing her. She signed autographs. She took pictures. You literally got to meet her. She pulled her limo up in front of where a group of about five people were. And I was upset. I was a little frustrated that I had missed this moment. But because I'm a peacemaker, I didn't say anything to them. I just buried these frustrated feelings deep down inside, and I'm kind of sulking to myself, and we're leaving, and we go to cross the street to get to the area where we think our car is, and we're waiting for the little white man to come onto the screen that lets you know that it's time to walk, and he comes on, and we start walking. I keep my eyes up because I'm looking for celebrities, and I look at the car that is stopped that allows us to walk, and when I look into the car, I see that it's Dave Grohl. Now, yeah, two of you know who that is. Same thing with the people I was with. I said, guys, look, it's Dave Grohl. And they said, who's Dave Grohl? And I said, are you kidding me? Dave Grohl, the drummer from Nirvana, he's now the lead singer of the Foo Fighters. That's Dave Grohl. And Dave Grohl kind of waves like, you're crazy. And they all kind of looked at him and said, oh, yeah, that is Dave Grohl. We know what he looks like. And at this point, though, I'm really frustrated because I wanted to take pictures of celebrities because I live by a rule. If you don't post it on Facebook, it didn't happen. And so at this point, I'm really mad, not just at them. I'm mad at myself because I didn't take a picture, paparazzi style, of Dave Grohl. So I pull my phone out and I say, I'm not going to make that mistake again. Anytime I see a celebrity, I'm just going to take a picture. And I have my phone open and I have the camera ready to take a picture. And at this point, we get to the other side of the street and a debate starts. And the debate is, we don't know where we've parked the car. The girls that are with us think that we've parked to the left. The guy, my friend Dan, thinks that we've parked to the right. I stay out of it because I don't have a sense of direction, so I don't have a fat clue where we've parked. So the girls go to the left, Dan goes to the right, and I go with Dan because I don't want him wandering the streets of L.A. alone. And so me and Dan, we walk blocks. I mean blocks. We walk forever, and we finally get a call from the girls that says, hey, we found the car. We say, okay, we will turn around. We will be with you, but it's going to take a minute because we've walked so far in the wrong direction. The problem is we had the keys to the car. So the girls were standing outside of the car. It was really, really hot out, and they were very impatient. They wanted to get in, and they just couldn't imagine how far we had walked in the wrong direction. So the girls keep texting, and they keep calling Dan, and Dan's getting a little frustrated because he's like, I told you we're on our way. And at this point, we're about a block away from our final destination where the car is, and we stop again at a sidewalk, and we're waiting for the little man to come onto the screen and tell us to walk. And as I'm staying there, I look at the car that pulls up, and the car that pulls up, it is Dennis Quaid. If you don't know who Dennis Quaid is, this is a picture of Dennis Quaid. He's pretty famous actor. He's most recently in the movie I Can Only Imagine, which is a faith-based film. And so I was excited to see Dennis Quaid. I said, Dan, there's Dennis Quaid. Dan didn't care, but I was like, Dan, there's Dennis Quaid. And at this point, I have my phone out with the camera open, ready to take a picture so I can prove to everyone that I saw Dennis Quaid. I go to take the picture, and at that moment, my wife calls me. And when I hit the button, instead of taking a picture, it answers the phone. And I said, no! Now, my wife doesn't know what's going on. She doesn't know that my stress level is high. She just hears me yell no, and she's like, what's going on with him? So I hit the button, and I try to lower the phone call so I can pull my camera back up, and I'm just hitting buttons, and I cannot get my camera up, and very quickly, Dennis Quaid sees what's going on, and he speeds off, and I miss my opportunity, and I yell out loud, you're killing me! So then I'm like, hey, babe, what's going on? She's like, why am I killing you? I don't understand. Like, why are you yelling at me? I don't know why you're so mad. I'm like, I'm not mad. It was Dennis Quaid. You don't understand. It was Dennis Quaid. So she hangs up the phone, and I've hurt her feelings, but I'm upset because she's messed up my phone call. The truth of the matter is that oftentimes when I allow my feelings to dictate my emotions, I don't handle my feelings very well. Oftentimes I base my feelings on what someone else does to me. It's almost like the bartering system, that if you're nice to me, I'll feel like being nice to you. But if you're not nice to me, my emotions go all over the place. And it's so hard to control our emotions. It's so hard to control our feelings. And that's why Jesus gave us an amazing way to work into our relationships. People don't come with instructions, but Jesus gave us something that we can apply to every relationship that we have. Whether you're married or single, if you have family, if you have friends, if you go to church, this is something that can apply to you. I want to show you what Jesus said, and before I do that, I want to give you the big idea. If you're taking notes, feel free to write this down. The big idea is simply this: treat others how you want to be treated, not how you are feeling. Treat others how you want to be treated, not how you are feeling. I want to show you this in the scriptures, and before we dive in to see what Jesus says, I want to give you an opportunity to talk to God. If you're new to the church scene, and maybe you've never prayed before, I want to give you a simple prayer. There's no magic to it. I just want to give you something to say. The prayer is just this: God, would you speak to my heart, and would you give me the courage to do whatever you tell me to do? No matter where you're at in your walk with God or your spiritual life, would you take a few seconds just to talk to him and ask him to speak to you before we go into what Jesus said? Would you spend a few seconds praying quietly? God, we come before you right now, and we do ask that you'd speak to our hearts, and you'd help us to get out of your way. Give us the courage to obey you, even when it's hard. And God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. So the teaching that we're going to go over is something famous that Jesus said. In fact, some would argue it may be one of his absolute most famous teachings. The teaching is found multiple places in Scripture. And the reason is that when Jesus taught, they didn't have podcasts. They didn't have video. They didn't have cameras. They didn't have a way to record it. And so Jesus would often teach the exact same thing and just put a different twist on it. So we have various teachings of his that sound kind of similar, but sometimes they're different. And he would change the sermon up based on his audience or based on his intended outcome. The scripture that we're going to look at comes out of a teaching from the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is called that because Jesus was on the side of a mountain teaching. It's incredibly creative how they came up with that name. He teaches on the Sermon on the Mount, and this is what's important for you. This is what you need to know. I hope one day you'll read the Sermon on the Mount. You can find it. It's in a couple of the Gospels, which is the story of Jesus. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus starts the sermon the exact same way. He starts with the word blessed. Now, if you grew up in church, you don't say blessed, you say blessed. I don't know why. It's a weird church thing. But like, I grew up in church, and so I would hear pastors, they would say, blessed. It's real fun. You should try it. Would you just humor me? Would you just say the word like church people say it? 1, 2, 3. You guys missed your calling. You could be pastors. That was great. Blessed. So Jesus starts off this sermon, and he says, blessed or blessed are, and he gives this list of who the people are that are blessed. And it's actually a little bit of a mistranslation. A better word for blessed would be the word happy. Jesus literally gives a sermon on how to be happy in this world. And at the tail end of his sermon, he gives us our verse for today. Look at what he says in Luke 6:31. He says, do to others as you would have them do to you. Now let's stop there just for a second. This is known as the Golden Rule. You may have grown up and heard of the Golden Rule and didn't even know that Jesus is the one that said it. What's interesting about the Golden Rule is that Jesus isn't the only one who said a phrase like this. In fact, growing up in Jesus' day when he was little, there was a famous rabbi by the name of Hillel, Rabbi Hillel. And he often taught a phrase that was very similar to Jesus. I'll show you what Rabbi Hillel said. He said, what is hateful to yourself, do not do to other people. So do you see how it's very similar to Jesus? It kind of feels like the same thing. In Jesus' day and his audience, they would have said, oh, this sounds like Rabbi Hillel. That's a famous teaching. We can get on board with that. Here's something you may not have known, though. Almost every world religion has a version of the Golden Rule. But it's a lot closer to Rabbi Hillel's. The Golden Rule says, do unto others what you would have them do to you. What others have called the Silver Rule is said, don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. It is the negative form of the Golden Rule. So it's kind of like this. In my life, I hate lima beans. I think lima beans are the spawn of Satan. They are... Thank you, yeah. I think lima beans are gag nasty. I cannot stand them. I think they taste like squishy little alien pods. And I cannot bring myself to eat lima beans. The problem is that my wife loves lima beans. So, if I follow the Silver Rule, the famous teaching in so many cultures, what the Silver Rule says is because I hate lima beans, I should never serve lima beans to anyone else because I wouldn't want them to serve lima beans to me. Do you see how it can become selfish? It's focused on what I don't want. And this is throughout so many cultures and so many religions. The negative version of the Golden Rule is found from Thales. He was the first philosopher in the Greek tradition. Look at what he said. Avoid doing what you would blame others for doing. It's a version of the Golden Rule, but instead of the positive, it's the negative. Confucius was a Chinese teacher and philosopher in 500 BC. Confucius said, do not do to others that which we do not want them to do to us. See how similar it is? Hinduism says, this is the sum of duty, which I just stop right there and chuckle because I have the sense of humor of an eighth grader. And he said the sum of duty. I think that's funny. Only two of you share my sense of humor, but that's okay. So what is the sum of duty? Do not unto others what you would not have them do unto you. There's a lot of not in there. It's the negative form. Buddhism says, hurt not others with which you pains yourself. Judaism, which is what Christianity came out of, a famous saying in Judaism is, that which is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow. That is the whole Torah. Now, the Torah is the first five books of the Old Testament. It's what they base their religion on. It's what they base their ethics and morals on. And so they're saying, you can sum up the whole first five books of the Old Testament by this rule. That which is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow. The rest is the explanation. Go and learn. This is the silver rule. And it's a great teaching. There's nothing wrong with teaching this. It's a very famous teaching. In fact, in Jesus' audience, they would have said, oh, we've heard something like this. But Jesus takes a really famous teaching and he flips the script on it. And he says, as long as you're focused on the not, what others, what you don't want them to do, it is a passive response. And the response is to sit back and wait. And what do I say? I say, if I'm offended, it is based off what someone else has done. And what do I say? I would never do that to them. Therefore, I'm angry. How dare they not call me back? I always call them back. How dare they not invite me to that party? I always invite them to the party. How dare they forget my birthday? I always remember their birthday. The silver rule, I think, is so popular because it's just naturally how we act as humans. I treat other people the way that they treat me. If you're good to me, I'll be good to you. If I can get something out of it, I'll give something to you. And Jesus says, no, listen, I'm going to flip this. It's not about passively waiting for other people and how they treat you. It's about being active. Do to others what you wish they would do for you. When you get offended, isn't it because someone crosses a line? It's some line that you have. It's some rule that you have. We all have these. We've grown up playing life by a certain set of rules. And when someone hurts our feelings, when someone offends us, what does it go back to? It goes back to us. I would never do that. How dare they do that? I would never treat them that way. And so Jesus' teaching is way more difficult. It's not based on what other people do to you. It's based off what you would do for others if you were in that situation. So let's make this really practical. Think about it. Because you and I are human, because we've all made mistakes, when someone makes a mistake in your presence, how would you like them to treat you when you were the one who made the mistake? Have you ever had a boss who's just off and was grumpy one day? And isn't it easy to point the finger and just say, oh, he's a jerk, he's mean? Well, have you ever had an off day? Have you ever been grumpy? Have you ever fussed at people, even though they didn't do anything wrong? And when you were wrong, how did you wish someone would have treated you? When you have some type of sin, some type of hidden sin that you don't think anyone will find out, and then it gets found out and you feel guilty about it, how did you wish people would treat you? Did you wish people would show you grace and still show you love and not hold it against you? Or do you love the fact that people pointed out your sin and say, you're a dirty, rotten sinner, I'm going to kick you out of the church, get out of here, I have nothing to do with you. If you loved being treated that way, then treat others that way. Jesus' statement is not about how have you been treated, it's about how do you want to be treated. And oftentimes in the church world, I will get an email from someone and it is focused on someone else's sin. Did you see what someone else posted on Facebook? Did you see what someone else tweeted? Did you see the picture that someone else put on Instagram? And they go to our church, and I'm just so offended. I can't believe they did that, and you should talk to them. And whenever I get one of those emails, I always respond the same way. Have you ever sinned? Have you ever made a mistake? I'm not saying we should gloss over it. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have maybe a hard conversation. But here's how our response is. When you've made a mistake, how did you wish people would treat you? Because that's what we're going to do to this person. Do you like when people pull out their pitchforks and they run in anger and they crucify you and they yell at you every time you make a mistake? Do you like that? No, of course you don't like it. So we're not going to wait and treat people the way we've been treated. We're going to do to others what we wish they would do to us. Do you see how radical this is? So when someone mistreats you, think about how would you want to be treated when you were the one doing the mistreating? When someone is wrong, how would you want to be treated when you were wrong? When someone's crabby and upset and frustrated and having an off day, how would you want to be treated on your off days? It's not about how others have treated you. It's how do you want to be treated? And look at what Jesus says. He expounds on this in Luke 6, 32 through 34. He says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. Now, I want to take a time out for a second. In Jesus' culture, the phrase sinners didn't apply to everyone. All of us have sinned. We all have sinned. We've all messed up. We all have made mistakes. But in Jesus' culture, the word sinners, it was a term that was given to those who do not believe in God. So what Jesus is saying is that those who don't follow God, or in his culture, Torah, because he was Jewish, for those that don't follow God's standards, those who are anti-God, this is the rules that they play by. And for those that don't worship God, for those that don't follow God, they are nice to people who are nice to them. So if you're following Jesus, you're called to a higher standard. Look at what he says. He says, if you only love even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. Jesus' teaching is so radical because we don't have rules for our relationships, and so we wing it. And we base the way we treat others on how we've been treated. And so if you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. And Jesus says, uh-uh, that's not working out for us. That's why we have wars. That's why we have conflict. That's why we have awful turmoil in our culture, because everyone is basing their treatment of others on how they've been treated. And if you want to have a deeper relationship, if you want to love someone the way that God loves you, treat them the way that you wish others would treat you, even when you were wrong. Think about how radical that is, because all of us have been wrong. We've all made mistakes. But how do we view things in our culture? We always say, I'm so mad at them because they didn't invite me. They didn't include me. I'm mad at them because they ignored me. Well, at some point in your life, you've ignored someone. And when you ignored someone, how do you wish they would have treated you? That's how you should treat others. In the church world, I often hear, I've been a part of multiple churches from various church sizes, and one thing that I hear from church people often is that churches just have so many cliques. It's just a phrase. It's just an easy thing to say. Churches have cliques. And ultimately, when someone says churches have cliques, what they're saying is, I want to be included, and I don't feel like I'm included. And that is a very human response. The human response says, I wish people would welcome me in. I wish people would be nicer to me. And you know what Jesus would say? Jesus would say, I see your clique. How about this? Treat them the way that you wish they treated you. Instead of complaining about them, go in and be the friend. Because guess what? Someone else feels like there's a clique and they're left out. So go be the friend to them. You don't like something about someone? Okay, well, when you've been mistreated, how do you wish they treated you? Go do that for someone else. If you don't like when people cram scripture down your throat when you have a problem in life, well, then don't cram scripture down someone else's throat when they have a problem. If you wish someone was just there for you and would just listen to you when you vent about a hard day, be that to someone else. Be a friend. If you feel like there's not enough friends, then be that for someone else, because everyone's looking for friendship and everyone's looking for a place to belong. And if you don't find it, your temptation is to say, they're the problem. And Jesus says, no, listen. At a time when you weren't very worthy of friends, I loved you. And at a time when you weren't loving God, I loved you. So don't treat people how you have been treated. Treat people the way that I have treated you. Do to others what you wish they would do for you. I love the way that the Message paraphrases this verse that we just read. If you're new to the church scene, if you're not familiar, Bibles have various translations. And some of them are based off word-for-word accounts. So what was said, they translate it into English. And some of them are more based off just kind of the idea around it. And the Message is a paraphrase. And so when I read the Bible every day, I don't read from the Message, but I go to the Message often when I'm very familiar with a verse and I want to hear it just from a different take, when I need to hear it from a different angle. And look at how the Message paraphrase says the exact wording that we just read. It says, here's a simple rule of thumb for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you. Then grab the initiative and do it for them. If you only love the lovable, do you expect a pat on the back? Run-of-the-mill sinners do that. If you only help those who help you, do you expect a medal? Garden-variety sinners do that. If you only give for what you hope to get out of it, do you think that's charity? The stingiest of pawnbrokers does that. I love the wording of this. So when I get frustrated in a relationship, before I point the finger and say they're the wrong person, they're doing me harm, before I do that, I need to stop and think, have I ever done wrong to someone else? And how did I wish they treated me in this moment? So something that often bothers me is that often in our culture, people only call when they need something. And so often my phone will ring and I just think right away, oh, they need something, they need a favor, they need, you know, something from me. And because I feel that inside, my response is, I want to try to text people just because I think of them. And it's awkward. People always say, like, what's your agenda? What do you need? And I'm like, no, I don't need anything. I just wanted to let you know I was thinking of you, which really feels weird. Why are you thinking about me? I don't know. I don't know. I don't have all the answers. I'm just trying to do for you what I wish someone would do for me. Do to others what you wish someone would do for you. Treat others the way that you want to be treated. It's so easy in relationships to treat others the way that they treat you, but that is a broken system, isn't it? Don't we have drama in our relationships because when someone's grumpy, we just get grumpy with them. When someone's late, we just get offended and we fuss at them. And when someone doesn't meet our needs, we just get mad and we say, oh, I'm not going to meet your needs if that's how you're going to treat me. Isn't that broken? And Jesus offers a better way. He says, listen, I want you to show them the same love that I've given you. It's important to understand that because what he says next is impossible to do if you've never had the love of God. Look at what Jesus says next. His very next words are, but love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. You see, when I only give because I expect something in return, it's selfish. When I'm only nice to someone because they're nice to me, it's ultimately selfish. And isn't selfishness the thing that is causing so much damage in our culture today? Because we base the way we treat others out of what we're going to get out of it, how they've treated us. And Jesus says, no, listen, there's a better way. This tit for tat, this idea of only being nice when someone gives you something, it's broken. And we've all experienced it. There's a story about a husband named Bob and his wife is named Susan. And on their anniversary, Bob forgot to celebrate Susan. He forgot to get her a gift. And Susan got Bob a really nice gift. And after he opened it, she was expecting her gift in return. And when he didn't have a gift for her, she got incredibly upset. Isn't that how this works? I got you something, I deserve something back. So she gets upset at Bob and she demands from him that he get her a great gift. She says, tomorrow morning, I expect to find a gift in the driveway that goes from 0 to 200 in 6 seconds. She then emphatically added, and it better be there. Right? Isn't that what we do when someone hurts us, when someone wrongs us, we start demanding? We start trying to control the situation. We start saying, you didn't give me what I wanted, so now I'm going to tell you what I want, and you better do it. You don't have a choice. So Bob heard that his wife was demanding that he get her something in the driveway that goes from 0 to 206 seconds, and so he got her a gift. And the next morning, Susan woke up, and she looked out the window of her house to find a box in the driveway. She goes out to the driveway. She picks up the box. She opens up the box, and inside the box was a brand new bathroom scale. Goes to 0 to 200 in less than 6 seconds. Isn't that what we do in relationships, though? As ridiculous as that story is, isn't that how we live our lives? You got me a gift. I better get you a gift. I don't want to get you a gift. I'm just giving you a gift because you gave me a gift. I remember when I invited you to that party? How dare you not invite me to this party? Now we're mad. Now I'm going to get a separation in our relationship. I wish I got to go to that cool event. And social media has destroyed our ability to be happy with the life that God's given us. Because we're constantly looking at other people's lives and saying, well, I wish I got to do that. I wish I got to go there. I wish I just live your own life. Don't be frustrated at what other people are doing, and don't expect other people to do something for you. If you're not happy with your current situation, go out and write a better story. But to demand that someone do something for you, that sucks the joy out of a relationship. I didn't like not being invited. You better invite me next time. Well, they're going to invite you, but you know what? They're going to talk behind your back and say, I didn't really want to invite her. I just did it because she fussed at me. You don't demand that people meet your needs. You communicate your needs, and then when someone doesn't meet your needs, you do for them what you wish someone would have done for you. This is a radical teaching from Jesus. And today, I want to give you the win. The win is simply how you apply what we've just learned. The win is simply this: treat others how you want to be treated, not how you're feeling. Treat others, that's it. How you want to be treated, not how you're feeling. So this week, if you're a parent and you have a kid who's having a temper tantrum, they may need to be disciplined, but remember, at one point you were a kid, and how do you wish your parents disciplined you? And this week, if your spouse has an off day, and they're being crabby, and they're just being a little annoying, well, at some point in your life, you've been annoying. How do you wish someone treated you? And when you go to work and your boss is just being a jerk, well, how do you wish someone treated you when you were a jerk? And for your friends, when you don't feel included, well, how do you wish someone would have responded to you when you didn't include them? For the health of your relationship, treat others the way that God has treated you. Let's pray. God, we come before you right now. And relationships are so tricky, and we're so easily wounded by other people. And so God, we're just asking that something supernatural happen, that you would just stir in our hearts, because it's impossible for us to forgive others. It's impossible for us to fight past our own selfishness. God, we are such selfish people, God. And we've been hurt, and there's been people who have wounded us, God, and we just need your grace. Would you pour your grace over our wounded hearts? And would you help us to love others the way that you have loved us? In Jesus' name, amen. So may we be a people that learns to have healthy relationships. In fact, may the church be the example to the world of what a healthy relationship looks like. May we have healthy marriages and healthy friendships and healthy families and healthy jobs, not because we're great people, but because God has been great to us. And when someone wrongs us, may we love others the way that God has loved us. Thank you so much for being here. I'm excited for you guys to hear part two of this series, and we'll see you next week.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.